processing your identity and where you come from, it's multifaceted, of course. But that's actually one of the things, mm-hmm. The way that we celebrate. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that.
The joy. Well, your name is Rejoy, right? And tell me about your name. I've never heard that name before. It's amazing.
My parents mixed their names together. My dad's name is Renato, and my mom's name is Josie.
This is Drift, Immigration and Identity in America. I'm your host, Melissa Camara, a Hawaii-based artist and conservationist. And in this series of interviews, I'll be talking to immigrants, their descendants, and Native people. This week, we switch gears a little bit to the perspective of young people, starting with an illustrator and artist in Anchorage.
My name is Rejoy Armamento. I am 32 years old, and I am a freelance illustrator. I was born in San Jose, California. I moved up here about 7 years ago now. I was living down in San Diego at the time, and me and my old partner, we were just in that point of our lives where we were like, okay, let's go and check out different places in the world. And we like packed up a few things just for the summer. Like, we literally just filled one backpack full of summer clothes and just drove up from San Diego, and it took about like 2 weeks or so. Yeah, 7 years later, I never thought I would be staying here, and here I am.
I was going to add, you know, I've asked folks who are born in the Philippines, which are not, but if they feel more American or Filipino, but I'll ask you this instead. Do you feel more Californian or Alaskan?
Oh. I guess I feel more Alaskan now.
Okay.
The way that people are very tied to the land, like, mm-hmm. I definitely see that more here, just more respect and reverence for the land. It's always been a family dream to move to the U.S. And they actually met in nursing school. Luckily, my dad had his aunt who already immigrated here. And so she helped him out. It's crazy going back because, especially my dad's story, he's told me stories where, you know, he used to live like in this tiny house and they didn't have much.
And this is in Manila, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have they ever talked about what that trip for them was like?
They don't talk too much about leaving. It's funny because they always talk about going back to visit, to provide gifts from here every 2 or 3 years.
Oh, wow. So you have a real connection then.
You know, as a kid, I was just like, oh, yeah, everybody goes to like hop on a plane and fly a million miles away to visit their family. You know, I thought it was like everybody did that. I treasure those moments.
When you were growing up, were there other Filipino guys and gals in your grade? Did you connect with other Filipinos or not so much?
I always grew up with mostly white environment, and I was always like the one out of three Asians in the
class. Oh, really?
So I remember going to lunch in elementary school, and my friends would have like sandwiches and Lunchables. And then my parents, they would actually cook like traditional Filipino food, adobo. As a kid, you're like, you want to fit in, mm-hmm. right? And you're just like, why don't I have sandwiches for lunch? Like, why not? There was a point like in high school, actually, that my friends really liked my parents' cooking, and we would trade food.
Oh, wow.
So I'll have like their sandwiches.
Right. Because you're like, this is new for me.
Yeah.
It's new for them. It's all exciting
yeah.
for both of you. Right. That makes sense.
And I invite my friends over, and some of them were like, I've never experienced this much food before. I've never seen a pig on a table.
Did you grow up with a sense of like, I'm a Filipina? Or were you like, I'm the daughter of immigrants? I mean, what was your sense for how Filipino you were growing, Filipina you were growing up?
That identity itself was confusing to me, mm-hmm. just because I didn't see Filipinos in the media.
Mm-hmm.
I would see Chinese, Japanese, and I was just like, oh, am I like them? Like, I mean, I'm Asian. You know, we share similarities, but it's not exactly the same. Also navigating the term like Asian, like, oh, am I supposed to be more like this type of Asian? So I grew up speaking Tagalog. Well, when I was a kid, I spoke Tagalog.
Oh, my gosh. How lucky.
Yeah, it was just like, you know, you soak it up when you're a baby, you know. Mm-hmm. I went to preschool and the teachers were like, we don't understand. It's really cool. My parents speak at home. They speak Taglish. They'll be like, oh, can you get the kumut? Kumut is blanket.
What about when you're in the Philippines? Do you speak in English?
Yeah, I speak English. I try to speak Tagalog, but I get embarrassed because I have an accent and I'm just like...
All right, I guess I would ask you this, like in your heart of hearts, do you feel more American or Filipina? It's a really unfair binary, by the way, and I purposefully phrase it as a binary, so you answer it in whatever way.
I definitely have my days where I feel more Filipino, and some days I feel more American. I mean, when I'm in the Philippines, yeah, I definitely stick out. Like, I'm super American. And then when I'm here, like hospitality, you know, mm-hmm. that's a big thing for us. Like, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, you gotta feed your guests. And I think also just the Filipino mindset of, like, you know, you think of others, you want to, like, be nurturing, caring, like, mm-hmm. you care for others, like, making sure people feel at home.
Yeah. Well, you said it, hospitality, it's huge. Mm-hmm. It's huge. And that we had that growing up with my grandparents' house. And on the Lebanese side, it's the same. And many cultures in Hawaii, it's exactly that. It's all about the food and lots of it. And
right.
you would never go, for example, I mean, this is, I don't know if this is a Filipino thing or if it's just a local Hawaii thing, but you'd never go to someone's house empty handed. You would bring something, you know, because it would just be rude to show up without something.
I'm so glad that you brought that up because that just made me think of Alaskan culture is very similar in
okay.
a way. Like it's, you go to someone's house, bring something. And this is what's so cool. It's like people have like just salmon just in the freezer, pickled vegetables, blueberry jam or something.
Yeah, sharing is really, really important. Do you identify with being a Filipino artist? I have to ask. Or do you identify as an artist? I struggle with this because I'm biracial.
Right.
So I don't have an answer for that myself. I'm just wondering, because you and I are similar, right? And what do you, how do you view your art that you do and how does that intertwine or not with your heritage?
I definitely used my art to understand my identity, even Filipino words in my art, community. I definitely like weave that in. Like I also am exploring other aspects of myself that isn't only Filipino, but it doesn't mean that I'm any less Filipino. It just even being a woman, identifying mm-hmm. with that, mm-hmm. What it means to be a woman and all of my subject matters is about the female self.
The female self, right, from your perspective. I think it's so valuable because I struggle with, you know, labels somewhat, being an Arab artist or being a Filipino right. artist, but that might miss out on a whole other experience, which is being female or colonization, you know, or these real bigger things, big systems. I'm super interested in systems, underlying right. systems of oppression and so
exactly.
forth. So I'm glad to hear you say that you're many selves, right? Mm-hmm. It sounds like. Tell me more about that.
Right. And even like how does it feel like for me to be not only female, but growing up through the lens of Filipino culture and how Filipino culture views women, how I view women or how women are viewed, you know, within my own family. So it's a lot of unpacking that.
I want to hear more about that because I was curious about any generational divides that you've experienced between your parents. How old are your parents?
They're in their 60s.
Okay. And yourself and your sister.
You colonization. I feel like it wasn't always like this, but I would say not just females, but like young females in our culture, I feel like our voices are very much silenced. the toxic patriarchy of colonization definitely that has carried on through the Spanish colonization. Women should be more submissive. And I think those were the things that I definitely experienced growing up, like especially growing up here. Of course, I'm going to think a lot more American. My values are a lot different from the traditional values of my parents.
And how are they with that and your worldview?
So we're just learning how to respect each other's differences. It's definitely a lot better now. My parents have always wanted me to be a nurse or a doctor.
Right.
And that was the thing. It was just like, okay. But I've come to reach more of an acceptance over it. Okay, think about it. It's the case of survival. In order to survive, you want to lessen risk of failing, right? To, you know, curtail that, you want to follow exactly the same formula.
Right. Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, it is about survival, especially if you grew up poor, you know, or even on the edge of that. And in the meantime, here you are with all these opportunities and to be what you want to be, you know, and that's going to be a journey for sure. Yeah. Are they socially and politically different from you also?
They're definitely more, I would say, more conservative. Republican side.
Mm-hmm. And your values, they do or do not align with that.
They don't. I don't blame them or anything. You know, they grew up in a different time. Mm-hmm. I grew up here. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like trying to reach some sort of understanding on my part of like, I love just trying to understand just how people are shaped by, you know, their circumstances. Just developing a lot more empathy through that. And especially like with my path, it's like completely different. Like becoming a freelance artist, to me, it's actually kind of exciting.
Do they view it that way too, do you think?
I think now. I think they're seeing that like, this is very important to me. I've worked really hard to bring things into reality. Mm-hmm. Seeing me thriving in what I'm doing, it's empowering. When I was younger, I remember my dad saying, he's really artistic and designy. Mm. Like I definitely got it from him. You know, he loves building things and making things. And he's always wanted to be an architect because he had that like designy brain, you know, like creating things from scratch and like problem solving. Mm-hmm. Like he loved design. I think he couldn't do that. And there's a part of me that's like, I wish that he did. Mm-hmm. I wish that he did. He would have been great. Like he does it on the side. Like he does like just his own like
designy
type stuff on the side, which I really admire. But I think that's what kind of like pushed me. They had to give up certain dreams to survive here. And I guess for me, I kind of wanted to live on, like live those dreams. It's not easy to take that route. Nobody has really done that in my family. I think that's the exciting part of it. It's so cool living at this time because I'm seeing more and more Asian Americans carving out their own systems, like seeing more Asian Americans represented in the media, seeing more movies come up. That's not just the same stereotype of Asians. And I think that's what the children of immigrants are trying to do. And I'm seeing that wave, not just through movies, but through food, you know, through art.
Yeah. And you were talking about all the different things that you like to do, like dance. Tell me about that too, because you're a painter and you're a dancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Filipinos love to dance. definitely like grew up dancing and doing ballet and jazz, tap dancing, all the stuff. And you know, I just remember like growing up, like aside from like the formal dancing, my mom's just big on like ballroom dancing and stuff.
Oh yeah.
And just like
yes.
Yeah, I don't know. The fun.
My grandmother was doing ballroom dancing in her 80s. You know, she'd go into Honolulu. her husband, my grandfather, was a musician. They loved to party and, you know, they would, yeah. Anyway, so she was ballroom dancing until the end and she loved it. Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting that your mom is into it too.
And I'm really glad that you brought that up because processing your identity and where you come from, it's multifaceted, of course. But that's actually one of the things I say, mm-hmm. The way that we celebrate. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that.
The joy. Well, your name is Rejoy, right? And tell me about your name. I've never heard that name before. It's amazing.
My parents mix their names together.
What's your parents' names?
My dad's name is Renato and my mom's name is Josie.
I love that. It's like you're predestined to be an artist because look at your name with the mixing. That's so unusual. Right? I mean, do you know anyone else named Rejoy?
I've yet to meet someone named Rejoy. Yeah.
I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's great. There's so much to a name too, you know, so you got to own it and live in it and all of that. And cool. Is there anything else you would like to tell me?
I think it's so important to unpack all this, to just commemorate the past, but not just that, just celebrate who we are as children of immigrant parents or grandparents, you know, it's very special.